Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Andrew Shatkin Show on every weekday evening at 6:30, and if I have time and I'm able to manage the schedule for weekends at 11 o'clock on Saturday and Sunday, this show, give me a little background on how I work this thing. This is a politically incorrect show. I don't believe in political lies, media falsehoods, or anything of that character. I believe in critical thinking and arriving at truth and facts. Second of all, I'm a Christian, and I adhere to the full authority of Holy Scripture from Genesis to Revelation, and I adhere to the ancient creeds of the Church, the Apostles, Nicene, and Athanasian Creed, as well as if I read a book, it's going to be Bunyan, it's going to be Lewis, C.S. Lewis, it's going to be G.K. Chesterton, it's going to be a Christian author, or I can be enlightened with some kind of truth that's useful to me and helpful to me. I'm a writer. I've written 10 books, and I have 4 more in process. 3 are Christian books. 1 is on the parables, in which I've posted all 41 parables on social media and my website and at academia.edu. And I am also the host of 2 radio shows, Christian radio shows. But I welcome everybody. I reject no other points of view that differ from me. I maintain my position as a believer in that respect, but I'm not unprepared to listen to other people and have a relationship with them. So that's as much as I want to say about what I'm going to do here tonight. 2 things I'm going to talk about that are important. One is the issue of Galileo, and he had an issue with the Roman Catholic Church. And also I'm going to talk about what I think is a warfare against Western culture. The Galileo, I think, he had a problem, but I don't think the problem was real, because both the Vatican and Galileo had some truth in their position. Galileo was arrested by the religious authorities, was imprisoned, and he countered the position of the Church that the Earth was the center of the universe, and Galileo, in his view, believed and reached the conclusion, the physical truth, that the Earth revolves around the sun. But they came at this issue from different angles. The Church came from a metaphysical, or you might say, philosophical angle. And in some sense, the Church is the Earth is the center of the universe. It's the only place thus far, despite validly looking for other places where life can be found, no life has been discovered. And in this little pinprick, the Church was correct that it is the center of the universe, the only place where there's life, where there's trees, where there are animals, and where there are people. And despite searches have been made for life, at least in other planets such as Mars and Venus, nothing has been found, and the continuing quest apparently is not working. So you might say that humanity has made its last stand on Earth and no other place. Nobody knows the reason for this. There appears to be some sort of mystery in connection with this fact. So humanity, for the Vatican's position, is in some sense the center of things. Since everywhere we look, we can find nothing resembling life and beings but here. So the biblical view that the Earth is the center of things seems to be quite true. And so the opinion of Galileo that the Earth revolved around the sun, that was true. That was a physical conclusion, and it was a valid conclusion, but the Church approached the matter not from a physicality perspective, but from a metaphysical or philosophical perspective. And I believe it's true that when we look in the heavens, we find nothing but darkness and void. As it says in Genesis 1, and on Earth alone, life and humanity have developed. And we have the absolute confirmation of the Genesis story of chapter 1, that God created the heavens and the earth. Seems to be true. There's the heavens where there's void and darkness and can't find anything, can't find people. And we have the little pinprick here where there's life. And therefore, the Vatican's position of the earth was the center of the universe seems to have some truth. And the Genesis story seems to be true, that God created the heavens and the earth. At the time of the controversy with the Church, both parties were right, but neither party understood their position. The Roman Catholic Church felt threatened in its theological stance, but in reality was not, by the conclusion that the earth revolved around the sun by Galileo. There was no challenge here, but he merely made an observation of fact that really has not succeeded in the reality of Genesis 1 as to what is going on, namely, the only place you can find people and plants and life and animals is right here on earth. So they came at the issue from different angles. Galileo came at it from a physical angle. The church came at it from a metaphysical, a philosophical angle. And whatever happens to the human race, history will move on, and God in his mercy and grace will move history as he chooses, whatever end he wishes to bring about for us all and whatever process he chooses to employ. God is in charge of history, and Jesus is Lord of history. And whatever happens to the human race, as history moves on, God will move history as he wishes to whatever end he wishes to employ. And the heavens, as Genesis 1, will be there, but humanity and earth alone will move to whatever conclusion is ordained. So there are the heavens, and there's this little pinprick of life in the entire heavens, and history on this little pinprick will move to whatever conclusion God ordains. The earth may revolve around the sun, but in this little pinprick of life we call earth, there's something going on, and as it occurs and moves along, will bring an end that none of us at the present time understand or know. It is the absolute truth that humanity and earth, as the Vatican has maintained, is the metaphysical and philosophical center. And Galileo was wrong about his physical conclusion, but the church was also right in its conclusion, and both engaged in a misunderstanding. So that's my view about Galileo, ladies and gentlemen. Now I want to talk about something else, if I have time in this broadcast, and that will be, is there a war on Western culture? It appears to be so. I wrote an essay called The Centrality of Reading and Why It's Important that Great Books of Western Civilization Be Known and Read. I wrote another one called An Addition to Great Books to Read, and I analyzed the essential significance and importance of reading of the print medium and why we should continue to be familiar with the Western canon of classics. The issue I'd like to analyze here, which seems to be the case, is the school system in our country, apparent failure to assign these significant Western books to our young people, such as John Milton's Paradise Lost, or Dante's Divine Comedy, or Virgil's Aeneid. These are all important books, and they have moved, and they have been the movers and shakers of history. The books in that list that I listed here are the books that have moved our society forward. And I'd like to analyze here the school system's apparent failure to assign these books to people and perhaps the reasons for this policy. One is I'd like to offer as the reason is the dominance of technology and business and science in the school curriculum, which has driven out the liberal arts from the secondary and college curriculum and from the Western canon. Second, the schools are focused in their academic offerings on vocational matters or providing students when they leave with the ability to obtain a job or position, which is very important and understandable because it's very important that a person be able to get a job and support themselves. So one reason for driving out the Western canon, the great books, I think are the great books I've given you in that list, is the dominance of technology, business, and science, and the school's becoming a vocation place. Third, and this is only possible in a diverse and multicultural society where the older Caucasian European writers, or at least American writers of European culture and background, are seen as no longer relevant, and the curriculum should be inclusive. So that's a possible reason that it is taking into account our diverse, which is good. It's good that we have different races and different kinds of people. God created everybody for that reason, that were different. These differences are good and should be absorbed, but it is possible that in our diverse and multicultural society, where the older Caucasian European writers, or at least American writers of European culture, are seen as no longer relevant and dominant, and the curriculum should be more inclusive. That's a third reason. And fourth, our culture is increasingly based on images, such as TV, movies, computers, cell phones, emails, and text messages, which are serving to edge out more complex work in print, once the dominant form of thought communication. I've given the reasons for why the liberal arts and the Western books, the great Western books, and I gave a list there, such as Milton's Paradise Lost, George Orwell's 1984, and, of course, Tolstoy, one of my all-time favorite writers, War and Peace and Anna Karenina. He's one of, these are all my all-time historically moved favorites in our society, whether it's Milton, Paradise Lost, or Tolstoy in Anna Karenina. Tolstoy was a great movement for Gandhi for independent India. He was a very, very influential person. And people, when they read these people, they absorbed them and they applied them. It's not true today. However, I've given some reasons as to why the liberal arts have kind of been sidestepped. One of them is the dominance of technology. Second is the vocational offerings of the schools. Third is our multicultural societies possibly driving out the older European writers. And fourth, our society is based on images, such as TV, movies, and computers, and cell phones. And as Mortimer Adler said in his great book, How to Read a Book, he said these images of movies and computers, etc., these images are drugs where people are passively appealed to with no thought involved on their part. He described TV as a drug. He was right. It's a great book, How to Read a Book by Mortimer Adler. I recommend it. I'd like to offer some other reasons. It seems that there are forces at work that seem to be opposed not to Western culture, but seek to eliminate it from the academic curriculum. Let me give you some examples. I met a college graduate with a college and graduate degree in law who never heard of one of our greatest thinkers and poets, John Milton, who in his great, great epic poem, Paradise Lost, analyze the essential problem of man's fall into sin, and that is the issue that we all have to deal with at some point in our life, the reality of man's fall into sin, and that this is a fallen world. It is a fallen world. It's a world with a lot of evil, and those are the facts. If you don't want to say those are the facts, then you're not looking at the world as it is. And John Milton, in his great epic poem, analyzed the essential problem of man's fall. I don't think you can doubt there's been a fall with 6 genocides in the last 100 years. If you don't want to acknowledge the reality of evil and sin, then I suggest you possibly watch a lot of television where you can see some fashionable images about what people, or where everybody is 25 and well-dressed. That isn't the world. The world is not People magazine. It's not television. The world is 6 genocides in the past 100 years. So this person never heard of John Milton, and to me, that person is deprived and suffered. I also met a college student who had never heard of one of our greatest writers, George Orwell, the author of 1984 and Animal Farm. These are original thinkers. These are top thinkers that we should be aware of and know. Third, I met a college student in a restaurant in Queens who had never heard of Leo Tolstoy. And Tolstoy, Milton, and George Orwell are among the top writers and thinkers of all time and for all generations. Not to know them is to be in deprivation and to be cheated. And you can only account for this darkness and ignorance through a policy, some sort of policy, on the part of our schools to eliminate the classic Western canon authors. If this is a tragic mistake and our young people are being cheated of the great minds and thought leaders of world culture and civilization. That, ladies and gentlemen, is what I see as a possible attack on Western culture. I don't know if it's deliberate. There's some sort of policy involved here of people not knowing these things. And I object to the policy because I think not because I'm racist, not because I hate other cultures. I'm very happy with other people of other cultures. But I do believe that these great books are great and people should know them and read them. These are the books that influenced history massively, whether Tolstoy, whether Orwell, and whether John Milton. These are the movers and the shakers of all time. Yeah, and when you read them, you'll know that. Okay? All right, I hope you've enjoyed this little talk about the what I see as an attack on the Western culture. I hope it isn't an attack, and I'm hoping that the school system reforms its position in this respect and assigns these very great books that people should know and should be benefited from. Thank you very much. I hope you enjoyed this talk.